Welcome to part two of our interview with Elisa Scovino of Paolo Scovino Wines.
Well, again, wine brings people together, and you're doing a wine dinner tonight here in Milwaukee,
yes,
as I recall,
yes.
At Bacchus.
Mm-hmm.
Get a little plug in there for them. You know, here you are coming from Europe. You're coming here to celebrate your wines, celebrate Italian food at a restaurant, of course, with a heritage of its own. And this is what people will be talking about. And best yet, you're going to be educating them, I imagine, because some people in the room may not have been able to try Italian wines. And it's a world that people need to see.
Now, we will be sharing. It's a good thing.
Do you know what's on the menu tonight at all by any chance? Or is that
yes, I read it when I was in Italy. Yeah. And I cannot tell you the dish, but I remember that I went on. I saw on internet the annunciation and I saw the menu.
Great.
So yeah, it was a great menu.
What other parts of the country are you visiting? You said you go to Boston. Where else are you going to be? You said you're in Chicago.
Yes, I will be tomorrow in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, I will be in New York. Thursday in New Jersey and Friday in Boston.
You're going to be really tired by the time you get home. You might as well be working harvest.
Yeah, no. I will not have excuse to my family for not waking up early in the morning.
Back to work.
Yeah. No, it's a pleasure. Actually, this is the last trip until I am done with the harvest, because then for us the white grapes harvest, the Dolcetto harvest, is just like a warm up.
Yeah, right.
The real deal is then in end of September, October. October is the Nebbiolo time. Nebbiolo harvest takes 2 weeks every day, and just for the harvest, and then of course much more to follow the wines, finishing the fermentation and all the process. But that is when the day are intense.
You know, we've had an earlier harvest this year, as last year we had a later harvest, especially to look to the West Coast, California, Washington, that kind of thing. Are you pretty much on time in Italy? What's your weather been like this year? Mm-hmm. I guess it was a backwards way of putting mm-hmm. it. But
it has been a very particular year, starting from the winter. So January, we had a beautiful snowstorm, so a lot of snow, which is always very good on the soils. And we had a frost. The temperature were really, really low. The lowest of memories, minus 20.
Wow.
So very, very hard. And we had some damage definitely on some vineyards, the lowest part. So that was the start. Then we had a beautiful spring, good rain. So we... In Piemonte, we didn't suffer. I mean, in the Barolo area where we are with the vineyards, we didn't suffer the drought. There were some communes where it rained a little bit less, but we didn't have a huge problem of drought. We had good rain. We had also two hailstorms, unfortunately.
Wow.
End of July and early August, we had some vineyard damaged 80%.
80%.
Yeah, the other one, the average was like 40-50%.
That's
not
really,
less.
That's staggering.
Not less. That was high.
I mean, just again for our listeners to understand, imagine losing 80% of your paycheck.
It's more than that. It's not just the quantity that you lose, is the fact that you might not be able to come out with some crew on the market that you have to pass over that
right.
vintage. And but the vineyards that are not being hailed, they are marvelous, beautiful, beautiful. Especially I went with my father just recently in Serra Lunga, where I planted this vineyard in 2009. We have young vines there growing beautiful black grapes, fantastic.
So you have fruit already for 2009? From plants?
Yes. If you grow well, they produce not so much, but they do produce, yes. And we have our satisfaction. And so for now, it's quite, will will be quite normal as a vintage, in the sense that we will be harvesting probably the Nebbiolo not in September, so in October, as it's normal to do. And I hope the weather will stay like this, very good, with a warm day. And the temperature dropped, fortunately, in early September, which was very good, because the month of August was quite warm and hot. We had like about 17 days or 20, I don't know, but they were really, really, really warm. But also the last month, so September, is a very, very, very important month for the ripening of the Nebbiolo, because Nebbiolo is a late harvest grape. And the month of September, the temperature condition change very much from the rest of the summer. And the nights get much, much cooler. In fact, we lost about 15 degrees. Day and night, so from 35 degrees we pass from one day to another to 20 degrees.
That's extreme.
And the morning were like 15, when they normally were like 22 or more. And that it's something that is very, very important, because this excursion makes the, especially for the Nebbiolo, the elegance, the complexity, it slows down also the process of ripening. You can leave the grapes a little bit more longer on the vines, and it's important.
And I'm assuming everything is hand-picked, right?
Absolutely.
I like your reaction to that. Like, yeah. Of course, there is no other way.
My father get really upset and when he sees the big truck in the vineyards, where people put the, you know, sometimes they harvest in the boxes, and then they throw the boxes in this big big truck to bring it to the winery. And he's like, he should not be allowed it to do something like that, because
not treating the grapes right.
And it's important, because you don't want to oxidize the fruit and break the fruit. You want to crush fresh fruits and bring to the vat just the juice you make from crushing this grape, and not the one you bring from the vineyards.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Every box is 19 kilogram, so our small boxes with
boxes.
Holes
right.
On all the walls. So if there is some juice, you lose it. You
right.
don't bring it back.
It's not
to
coming
them.
Back.
It's right. not coming back.
Now, we had tried the Bianco, I believe.
The Lange Bianco,
which
yes.
Which was very, very good. I really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Let's see what you had here otherwise.
So here we have the Lange Nebbiolo 2008 and the Bric del Fiasque 2007, which I'm particularly happy, because Bric del Fiasque is represent really the history of our family. This has been the first vineyard that we bought with other two in Castiglione Falletto when we moved there, and also the first crew, the first vineyard that we vinify by itself to make a single vineyard Barolo.
Nice. So it is single vineyard. Very good.
It's a single vineyard. Yeah.
Okay, I'm anxious to try this one.
Yeah.
If I could. Not that I'm trying.
Absolutely.
To be.
Thank you. Cheers.
Oh, that has a nice nose. And this is a 2007.
2007, correct? Yes.
Winemakers in general, European or otherwise, raising their children to not be hung up about alcohol. So many winemakers I've met, American winemakers, they raise their children, and it's not a big issue. They're not out to
go out and get drunk
all the time. It's not important to them, because they're around it all the time. So
no, it's definitely under control, because once you give, a different value to what you drink, and you understand the value of it, the history behind the pleasure, the particularity that every wine can have, I think you look at a different way. And so I studied in a wine school that was predominantly boys, We were used to do, you know, party and the wine. They never get, my friends never get drunk with alcohol or things like that. But we were always like, even younger, we were always like cooking. Everybody was bringing good food from their family and tasting each other wines and have fun, of course. But I never get drunk personally in my life. Never. And I would never do it with a wine because I respect it too much to do it. So, yeah, for me, I think it's more probably, it's more the idea. And I think wine should be enjoyed in a context of a family. If you start young, and you start, it doesn't become such a big deal. It doesn't become something that when you can, then you exaggerate, you know. Even when I go to vacation by myself I have to open a bottle of wine. I have just one glass every meal. But even if I have a salad and a very, very simple meal, but I like what wine brings into a meal. And so...
It
makes it much more special. Much
I agree.
More. It's a really a treat that you give yourself.
Yeah, it's its own thing, and it's very much a pleasure. Mm-hmm. So, what is your official title, Elisa? Is it are you involved in sales? I mean, obviously, it sounds like you've done everything you probably can within the winery. I'm assuming that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, the winery is small, so you have to wear different hats. It's not just one way. So I definitely like more the production. And I studied for that. So I started to work full time in cellar and vineyards with my father. And... my sister Enrica is more on the market side. She started to travel, to translate for my father. She studied languages, and she was extremely important still today for the communication. My father doesn't speak English. He always joke and say, if I speak English to my vines, they don't understand me. So I need to speak Piemontese to them. And
beautiful. That's just beautiful.
Yeah. So my sister really, when she started to travel to meet with clients and do tasting. So that was very, very important. She had her first son last year.
Oh,
in May, thank you.
So you're an
so Giacomo.
Nice.
See, wonderful. We are so, so happy about that. And she's coming back to full-time work, but the priority, of course, is him. And we have him every day at the winery, so we enjoy all the families enjoying his company and seeing
generation.
The evolution. Yes, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So do you for your own future, are you thinking to be a winemaker, or is it still to carry on the family tradition and do what needs to be done to make the best wine you can? I mean, is that what you look to the future for?
Absolutely. I want to carry on the tradition of my family and to follow the winemaking. Yeah. That is my dream and my first passion, to work with the nature. For me, that gives me more rewards. It's also more relaxing. It's not when I go to the vineyards, your mind clears and you relax. You're not so stressed and in tension as you are when you are in the front of a computer, sending emails or doing traveling. I see myself more in the production. So I'm learning from my father. It has been a fantastic so far it's been really beautiful to learn from him. Very, very interesting. My father is quite open mind, and also he loves to receive inputs, new idea. So it has been quite easy to, you know, to interact with him. We have a very similar character. Sometimes we are quite fiery, you know, quite opinionated on both. But it's very much a learning experience for me still. So
that's what comes with the business.
I consider myself the assistant of my father, learning assistant.
What a great way to be raised and to come into the family, working with your father. For our listeners, if they'd like to learn about you online, how would they find you on the web?
They can look into the website that is being updated just now and in the next winter. The website is www.paoloscavino.com.
That's what I found.
And of course, they can contact as well our importer, the national importer, Bamville and Jones. So they are based in New York, and then they can reconduce to the distributors, and but they are also available for information. Everything.
Lisa, this has been fantastic to have you at the studio.
Thank you. It's been a couple more hours. Grazie.
Easily.
I would love to.
Well, next time you come back into town, if you make it back to Milwaukee, I would love to have you back and we can talk.
Thank you very
more.
Much. Thank you. It would be very lovely. It has been really fun for me.
Thank you. And also a little plug, thanks to the folks at General Beverage for bringing you in today.
Yes.
Thank
you.
Which is very
kind of them.
Grazie. Learn more about Paolo Scovino Wines at paoloscovino.com.
Thanks for listening to this program. Watch for our next program featuring Vincenzo Ippolito of Ippolito 1845 Wines. Cheers.
Life Between the Vines was produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Original music by Tim Turton. Web design by Jenny Holland. Our web geek is Tim Panicucci. Photos by Jeanette Herniak. Copyright 2012.